The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 9th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was altered, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. Now Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. And as the men were parting from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." Not knowing what he said. As he was saying these things, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were afraid, and they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent and told no one in those days anything of what they had seen. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and may we be guided by the power of the Holy Spirit this day and always. Amen. Transfiguration! Peggy said I was going to say it in the sermon. So think about what's going on here. Think about it from the disciples' perspective. What do you gather if you're a disciple and you're up on the mountaintop that day with Jesus being transfigured, transformed, changed before their very eyes, made glorious, and now also there's Moses and Elijah nearby? How do you feel? What are you thinking?
Scared.
Overwhelmed. That's a good word.
Confused.
Yeah, exactly. If we're up there that day, we're mind blown, not knowing what to say. Let's put up some tents, Jesus. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. And it says, he didn't know what he was saying. He didn't understand. It says also that he's kind of sleepy, doesn't it? Who's sleepy?
Not me.
Not you. You have lots of energy, I can tell. Sometimes we get a little sleepy. One of the things that I was looking at said Jesus went up on the mountainside to pray, and he must have prayed a long time because they're getting sleepy. And yeah, that's probably true. So we're at a mountaintop experience. Tell me, what are some mountaintop experiences that you have had in your lives? Please. Maybe your wedding day. A baby being born. I'm not going to name them all. Tell me, a mountaintop experience.
LWML up in the mountains.
Okay. The Lutheran Women's Missionary League. Up in the mountains. It was a literal mountaintop experience.
Yeah.
Good.
Prayerful.
And beautiful, and the place to reflect and to see the Lord at work. Another mountaintop experience. Dorothy.
Awesome to look out when you're on top and see almost everything worthwhile looking at.
Okay. Up on top of the mountain, looking out, seeing everything. You guys are being very literal. Any other mountaintop experiences? Lydia. Really? The Lutheran Church Extension Fund fall meeting is a mountaintop experience. Okay. We're going to have to go. Good deal. Lorraine.
Lutheran American
Lutheran marriage encounter. Very nice. You got to have a date night.
The 500th anniversary of the Reformation.
Yeah.
Pastor Seltz preached.
Yeah. The Lutheran Hour speaker came in and spoke to you guys, and you got to have the 500th Reformation anniversary service out at wherever it was, the big arena. Yeah. That's a mountaintop experience. Any other mountaintop experiences? All right. We like to have those mountaintop experiences, don't we? We want to have them all the time. Some people have been to worship services, youth gatherings perhaps, and said, oh, this is a mountaintop experience, something really great. And so we try to keep that mountaintop experience going all the time, don't we, to try to avoid boredom. How many of you ever said, I'm bored? I'm bored. Children, you should all raise your hands, because I know that you say that on a regular basis. I will say this. Miss Plackey was one of my English teachers in high school, and she was encouraging us to come up with different words. And so she said, you shouldn't ever say, I'm bored. Come up with something different. Oh, I'm uninterested in this because of that or whatever. But don't say, I'm bored. And yet we go through life a lot of times, right? And we're there and there's nothing to do. We have 500 channels on our television, and we have all the wonderful things that we have in our beautiful home, and we have the Lord's Word, and yet we say, I'm bored. We're still looking for the mountaintop experience. Well, as we said, Peter that day is kind of uncertain in what he should do. But I think what Peter is really looking to do at the mountaintop that day is to keep the party going. He wants the mountaintop experience to not stop on that day. Let's keep it going. Let's put up some tents and stay a while, Jesus. And have this mountaintop high continue. Americans, raise your hand. Are you Canadian? Isn't this what we want to do? We want to keep the mountaintop experience going all the time. I'm bored. I got this iPad. I'm bored. I got Candy Crush. I don't get it, but more power to you. I'm bored. And you have a great outdoor facility to play soccer. I'm bored. How many books are in your homes? I'm bored. How many TVs are in your homes? I'm bored. How many internet computers? Internet, you know that old internet computer? How many computers do you have in your homes? You have zero computers in your home? Really? We'll talk later. That's surprising. But what? You have three TVs or something at least? One? Okay. Karen, put your hand down. You're ruining all my numbers. You're taking my averages down. Most of us have, let's see. What? If you have a computer per person, pretty much, right? You have a phone per person, pretty much, right? Except for Karen, at her house they don't. You've got all these gadgets and toys, and I didn't even mention some of you got specialty cars. Those are nice too. I like them. Some of you have boats. Who's got a boat? Nobody has a boat. Oh yeah. These guys have a little rowboat that they like to flip over all the time. It's a sailboat. And they trained Simon on how to swim. So we got all this stuff, right? And yet, what do we say? Say it together. I'm bored. We want the mountaintop experience. We want to keep the party going. How many of you are going to go home watch some kind of sporting event today? Okay, three of you. We want those mountaintop experiences. How many of you have ever come to church and said, I'm bored? Oh, now you don't raise your hand. Wake up, John. Either one. I like it because I've got my son Jonathan and Jonathan Simison, and they both alert when you call their name. And the other thing is I can say John or I can say Carolyn in this church, and then about half of you raise your eyes. It's beautiful. You're at church, and you say, I'm bored. And sometimes, some of you already raised your hand, you say, I'm sleepy, too. And I understand that one. I get it. We get dreary-eyed as we come to the mountaintop. Sometimes we're confused. Sometimes the pastor's speaking, and we're like, what's he speaking in tongues? I don't understand a word. Sometimes we might come to church and maybe we get afraid. I don't know why exactly, but maybe we get afraid. Maybe we're afraid we're going to encounter a person that we've had some challenges with. Maybe we think we're going to get judged. I'm not sure. Come talk to me on that one too. If you're afraid when you come to church, we want to work past that one. But what do? We come to church looking for a mountaintop high, a mountaintop experience. All right, this is not to be critical. I hope it doesn't come off that way. It might. How many of you have been to a service where it's a contemporary service and you've gone in the door of the church and it's in an auditorium somewhere and it's black in there, right? Dark. And there's smoke, and there's light shows, and lasers, and you hear the rock band. Actually, you know what? It's interesting, and no offense to these guys. Great things that they're doing over there at Grace, if you go through the woods, through our parking lot. As I come in the morning, I hear boom, 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 boom. They're getting the bass drum all lined up, and the band's all getting fired up. And they're ready to rock out the show because they're going to have a mountaintop experience that day. And that's great. And we come, and mountaintop Xavier is over there doing his thing. And we're thankful for that. We're looking for something, aren't we? We're seeking a mountaintop experience. Do you think we can ever get a mountaintop experience again? Sure.
Open yourself up. It'll happen.
Open yourself up. It'll happen. Open yourself up. It'll happen. Can we get a mountaintop experience? Sure. Can we really get it all the time if we allow the Lord to open our mindset and work powerfully within us? Absolutely! Why not? Let's get a mountaintop experience. And what's at the mountaintop?
Jesus.
Thank you for the Sunday school answer. It was perfect timing. Thank you, Bob. I appreciate it. Love this guy. Give him a hug. Bob's always with me. Mountaintop experience, where at the mountaintop is who? And yet you're going to come to church and say, I'm bored. Jesus, the Lord himself, is there at the mountaintop. What's Jesus doing at the mountain? Praying. Being the Son of God. In this moment in time, his face is gleaming. His whole self is beaming bright, dazzling white, it says. He is transfigured before them. And not only that, there's Moses and Elijah right there. So Jesus is being the Son of God. He's being glorious. And he is about to bring fulfillment, it says, at Jerusalem. What is that? He's about to bring fulfillment at Jerusalem. I know you know the answer, Bob. What's going to happen? He's about to be crucified. He's about to die for us. He's about to fulfill the very word. He's about to die. He's about to bring more glory to the Lord. And he does die. He dies for us. He is then raised to life for us. And what a beautiful thing that we are forgiven through Jesus' blood shed on that cross. Jesus is also at that mountaintop sharing the very kingdom and showing us that he's not only man. And so his disciples see on that day that they are not just with a guy. They're not with just any old dude, Jesus, my buddy. But they're with Jesus, who is the Lord. They're with Jesus, who is God himself. And the Lord is beaming down dazzling brightness upon the sun. I wish I had a really cool low voice. I should have you do this, Bob.
This is my son.
Oh, that's not very loud. This is my son, whom I have chosen. And what's he say after that?
Listen
to him. Okay. We get that mountaintop experience really all the time. As you come to little old Advent Lutheran Church on Irwin Road in Chapel Hill, you get to have a mountaintop experience. I know it's a little bit flatter here than some places. You get a mountaintop experience every week. You get a mountaintop experience as you remember your baptism, the water trickling down that mountain to clean you, to make you washed and full of faith and a child of God. And where else do you get a mountaintop experience? Communion. At the sacrament. You get to come every week. What a blessing it is that we have communion every week here at Advent. And you bow before the Lord, saying, Lord, I'm confused, I'm afraid, I don't know what's going on, I'm bored. And yet you get to receive the glorified Jesus. His body, his blood, shed for you, broken for you, given for your forgiveness, there for your strength of faith, there to renew you and lead you back forth out into the world and saying, ah, you know what? I went to the mountaintop today. I got to be with the Lord. And he is upon me. So keep coming. Keep coming to the mountaintop. Keep staying in that very word. As you're in the Word of God, don't you get a mountaintop experience too? As you're really in it and you keep reading it and as you see one passage, it makes you think of another passage and you go back to that and look at that and you have references in your book and it says, oh, look at this passage now. And you say, oh, okay, this is starting to make a little bit of sense. God's at work through the whole thing, even the boring part in the Old Testament. God's delivering over and over and over again in the Old Testament from His people who are just like us, sinful and in need of deliverance. And so we get to come to the mountain and have that mountaintop experience. And we say, turn our eyes upon You, Lord Jesus. May I look full in Your wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of Your glory and grace. And so as we get that mountaintop experience, we see the glory and the grace of Jesus. And at that mountaintop experience on the Transfiguration Day, on that mountaintop with Peter, James, and John, and the two guys show up, right? Out of thin air, Moses and Elijah are there. It shows that the law is there, the prophets are there, and these things also point to Jesus. It's the very Word of God really coming together at this moment on that mountaintop. The law, Moses, you remember Moses receives the law from God. And then Elijah is a prophet, and so he and others tell about Jesus who is to come and fulfillment that is about to come at the cross. All of this comes together on the mountaintop. So, there's glory at the mountaintop. And that glory is shining forth from God the Father, pointing us to the Son who satisfied the law, who fulfilled the prophets, and the mountaintop experience is really given to us week after week as we're here in this place receiving the very glory of Jesus as we are given His grace every week as we come. And you know what? You don't have to necessarily go all the way to the very, very tippy top of the mountain to have a mountaintop experience. Just go where Jesus is. Amen. Peace, love, grace, faith be yours through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May all the glory be to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, forever and forever. Amen.